Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, The Descent of the River Ganges, text number 21. Yam-mahur-asya-stiti-janma-samyamam Tribhir-vihinam yamanantam rishaya I think it's missing a syllable. So it's not like, it's not the meter for the, like the Brahma Samhita. It's missing a... It's still perfect. Naveda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Stitam Bhumandalam Murda Sahasradamasu Yamahurasya Stiti Chanma Samyamam Tribhir vihinam yamanantam rishayah Naveda siddhartam iva kvachit sthitam Bhumandalam murda sahasradamasu Yam. Whom? Ahu. They said. Asya. Of the material world. Stiti. The maintenance. Janma. Creation. Samyamam. Annihilation. Tribhi. These three. Vihinam. Without. Yam, which? Anantam, unlimited. Rishaya, all the great sages. Na, not. Veda, feels. Siddha, artam, a mustard seed. Iva, like. Kvachit. Where? Sthitam. Situated. Bhumandalam. The universe. Murdha sahasradhamasu. On the hundreds and thousands of hoods of the Lord. Lord Shiva continued, all the great sages accept the Lord as a source of creation, maintenance, and destruction, although he actually has nothing to do with these activities. Therefore, the Lord is called unlimited. Although the Lord in his incarnation as Sesha holds all the universes on his hoods, each universe feels no heavier than a mustard seed to him. Therefore, what person desiring perfection will not worship the Lord? Purport. The incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Sesha or Ananta, has unlimited strength, fame, wealth, knowledge, beauty, and renunciation. As described in this verse, Ananta's strength is so great that the innumerable universes rest on his hooves. He has the bodily features of a snake with thousands of hooves. And since his strength is unlimited, all the universes resting on his hooves feel no heavier than mustard seeds. We can just imagine how insignificant a mustard seed is on the hood of a serpent. In this connection, the reader is referred to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 5, verses 117 and 125. We are referred to this. There it is stated that Lord Vishnu's incarnation as the serpentine Ananta Sesha Nag supports all the universes on his hooves. Adi Leela, chapter 5. So probably in the second volume, but that's in the original one. There it is stated that Lord Vishnu's incarnation, yeah, by our calculation, a universe may be very, very heavy. But because the Lord is Ananta, unlimited, he feels the weight to be no heavier than a mustard seed. Yeah? If you put a mustard seed in your hand, how heavy is it? You can't even feel it. So this is a nice. Now let's have a look here. 517. Look at that, it's open at the right page. Om Agyana Timirangasya Janjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmae Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Tena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Vidati Sva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langhayate Karim Yat Kripa Tamavam Aham Bande Sri Guru Dinata Vinam. So Tape avatare kare jagat palan Ananta vaibhav tara nahika gunan gaman. He then descends to maintain the material world. His unlimited opulences cannot be counted. Unlimited. So here, Ananta Vaibhav, unlimited Vaibhav, opulences, Ananta Vaibhav, Tara Nahika Ganan. Of him, Nahika, there is not Ganan, counting. Can't count his opulences. Kanan. No. Se Vishnu Hoya Yara Amsam Sera Amsa Se Prabhu Nitya Ananda Sarva Avakamsa. That Lord Vishnu is but a part of a part of a plenary portion of Lord Nityananda, who is the source of all incarnations. Purport: the Lord of Svetadvipa has immense potency for creation and destruction. Sri Nityananda Prabhu, being Baladev himself, the original form of Sankarshan, is the original form of the Lord of Svetadvipa. Text 117. Se Vishnu Sesha Rupi Dharena Dharani Kanha Ache Mahi Shire Hina Nahi Jani Nahi Jani. That same Lord Vishnu, in the form of Lord Sesha, holds the planets upon his head, although he does not know where they are. For he cannot feel their existence upon his heads. Just like you can't see the top of your head. Same with Lord Vishnu. Well, Lord Sesha anyway. Sahasra Vistirna Yara Phanara Mandala Surya Jini Manigana Karej Halamala. His thousands of extended hoods are adorned with dazzling jewels surpassing the sun. Panchasat koti yojana prithivi vista yara eka fane rahe sashapa akar. The universe, which measures 500 million yojanas in diameter, rests on one of his hoods like a mustard seed. No, so the universe is calculated as 500 million yojanas, and a yojana is it's described differently in different places, so it looks like it might be a variable, but depending on the context. But Prabhupada says about 8 miles. So 8 miles somebody asked Google how many kilometers is 8 miles quietly on your phone.
1 yojana is 13 kilometers.
What's that?
Yojana is 13 kilometers.
13 kilometers. Okay, 13 kilometers. Multiply 13 by 500 million. How much is that?
A lot.
A lot. Okay. Yeah, it's a lot.
As the third canto is 4 billion miles.
Yeah. So, but this is just a mustard seed. So how big is Ananta Sesha, one of his hoods? If the universe is so big, yet it's just a mustard seed on his head. And in fact, he doesn't even know it's there. The Lord of Svetadvipa expands himself as Satan's purport. The Lord of Svetadvipa expands himself as Sesha Naga, who sustains all the planets upon his innumerable heads, hoods. These huge global spheres, and keep in mind that our universe is just a little one. We're assuming it refers to our universe. These huge global spheres are compared to grains of mustard resting on the spiritual hoods of Sesha Naga. The scientist's law of gravity is a partial explanation of Lord Sankarshan's energy. The name Sankarshan has an etymological relationship to the idea of gravity. There is a reference to Sesha Naga in the Bhagavat Purana 5.17.21, where it is said, and have a guess what 5.17.21 is. Have a guess. It's the verse that we're reading today. More coincidence. I won't read the Sanskrit. I was reading it and I was thinking, hang on, this looks familiar. Oh my Lord, the hymns of the Vedas proclaim that you are the effective cause for the creation, maintenance and destruction. But in fact, you are transcendental to all limitations and are therefore known as unlimited. It's a slightly different translation. But in fact, on your thousands of hoods rest the innumerable global spheres, like grains of mustard, so insignificant that you have no perception of their weight. Yeah. The Bhagavatam further says, 5.25.2, later on, Yasyedam Chittimandalam Bhagavato Nantamurte Sahasrasirasa Ekasmin Eva Sishani Triyamanam Siddhartha Eva Lakshate. Lord Ananta has thousands of hoods. Each sustains a global sphere that appears like a grain of mustard. And here it says a universe per hood, right? Lord Ananda Dev has thousands of hoods. Each sustains a global sphere that appears like a grain of mustard. Seta Ananda Sesha Bhakta Avatar Ishvarera Seva Bina Nahi Janeha. That Ananda Sesha is a devotee incarnation of Godhead, right? Bhakta Avatar. Seta Ananda Sesha Bhakta Avatar. Ishvarera Seva Bina nahi janiya. He doesn't know anything else but service to Krishna. He's a servant. See, you know, this is one of the stunning, maybe stunning, amazing, interesting, that service is so attractive that even Krishna likes to do service. Because many of the incarnations are servants. They're all servants. Purport. So Jiva Goswami in his Krishna Samdarbha has described Seshanaga as follows. Sri Anandadev has thousands of faces and is fully independent, always ready to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He waits upon him constantly. Sankarshan is the first expansion of Vasudeva. And because he appears by his own will, he is called Svarat, fully independent. He is therefore infinite and transcendental to all limits of time and space. He himself appears as the thousand-headed Sesha. In the Skanda Purana, in the Ayodhya Mahatmya chapter, the demigod Indra requested Lord Sesha, who was standing before him as Lakshmana, please go to your eternal abode, Vishnu Loka, where your expansion Sesha with his serpentine hoods is also present. After thus dispatching Lakshmana to the regions of Paratala, Lord Indra returned to his abode. This quotation indicates that the Sankarshan of the quadruple form descends with Lord Ram as Lakshman. When Lord Ram disappears, Sesha again separates himself from the personality of Lakshmana. Sesha then returns to his own abode in the Patala regions. lower planetary systems. And Lakshman returns to his abode in Vaikuntha. What does that mean? Lakshman and Sankarshan are the same person. Right? That's what that means. Same person. And when Lakshmana winds up his pastimes in the where Lord Ram returns also to the original Ayodhya, then this girl is coming off. Hare Krishna. Hope I didn't do anything inauspicious. Here, this is for a brighter mind than mine. See if you can tie those together. Please. Now, this quotation indicates that the Sankarshan of the quadruple form descends with Lord Ram as Lakshman. When Lord Ram disappears, in other words, he's wound up his pastimes in the material creation, Lord Ram goes back to Ayodhya, the original Ayodhya in the spiritual world, and Sesha separates himself and returns to his own abode in the Patala regions. So the Patala regions at the bottom of the universe. The Laghu Bhagavatamrita gives the following description. The Sankarshan of the second group of quadruple forms appears as Ram, taking with him Sesha, who bears the global spheres. The global spheres. Right. So just, you know, there's an argument that's been going on, that probably go on for, you know, ever, as to whether the earth is flat or not. Right. So here Prabhupada describes global spheres. Well, that's related to the universe, isn't it? So interesting. There are two features of Sesha. One is the bearer of the globes, and the other is the bedstead servitor. Bedstead servitor. What does bedstead mean? Bedstead. Do you know?
Like
bedstead.
Like bed.
Bed. But what it specifically refers to is the base of the bed, right? The base of the bed, not necessarily the mattress. There are finer details to beds. The Sesha who bears the globes is a potent incarnation of Sankarshan, and therefore he is sometimes also called Sankarshan. The bedstead feature of Sesha always presents himself as an eternal servitor of the Lord. What else? What else does... What other service like that of being a bedstead is Sankarshan performing? What else does he do? Described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's the bed, but what else is he?
He's all the paraphernalia.
Huh?
He's all the paraphernalia.
Yeah, specifically?
Shoes,
yes. Hara?
Crown?
Not sure about the crown. Maybe. What else?
Mridanga.
Shoes?
Mridanga.
Ooh, that's interesting. I'm not sure about it. Krishna doesn't. I don't think Krishna plays the mridanga. He gets somebody else to play the mridanga. Oh, that's interesting. Now, his seat, right? Seat, table, cups and plates, where you can take prasadam. Krishna doesn't take prasadam, he eats bhoga. We take prasadam after he's eaten. It's in here. It's in there. It's in here somewhere. Let's see what it happens next. Here we are. It's here. It is here. Just stick around. Sahasra vadane kare Krishna gunagan niravadi gunagan anta nahi pan. With his thousands of mouths. Sahasra Vadane. He sings the glories of Lord Krishna. Kare Krishna Guna Gana. Kare does Krishna Guna Gana. Chanting of the holy attributes of Krishna. Niravadi Guna Gana Antanahipa. With his thousands of mouths. He sings the glories of Lord Krishna, but although he always sings in that way, he does not find an end to the qualities of the Lord. Antanahi Pam does not reach the end. Sanakadi Bhagavat Shune Yara Muke Bhagavanera Gunakahe Base Prema Shuke. The four Kumaras here. Srimad Bhagavatam from his lips. This is the, you know, the boat. We only have a very small version of the Bhagavatam. We have a small version of the Bhagavatam, but it looks like here, Bhagavatam is actually unlimited. The four Kumaras hear Srimad Bhagavatam from his lips, and they in turn repeat it in the transcendental bliss of love of Godhead. Here we go. Chatra, Paduka, Shwaya, Upadhana, Vasana, Arama, Avasa, Yajna Sutra, Simhasana. Okay? He serves Lord Krishna assuming all the following forms. Umbrella, chatra, right? What's the name of the Mumbai airport? Chatra Shivaji. Again?
Chatrapati Shivaji.
Yeah, is that the same chatra?
This Shivaji, it's a great name under the Chatrapati Shivaji.
What does it mean, Chatrapati?
He is the Hindu leader of
it. Chatra, it's the same word, though, chatra, isn't it? Here it says chatra means umbrella.
Yeah.
Of course, this is in Bengali, but it must be coming from the Sanskrit. Chatra, umbrella, paduka. What's a paduka?
Shoes.
Yeah. Slippers here, slippers. Prabhupada describes, you know, when I see a paduka, does it look like a slipper? Yeah. You know, kick somebody with a paduka, they know about it. Of course, we don't kick things. Shaya, bed. Right? Upadhana. What's upadhana? Pillow. Vasana, garments, his clothes. So I guess the crown fits into clothing, right? See. Arama. Resting chair. Right, his resting chair. Avasa, residence. So his house. Yajna Sutra. His sacred thread. Simhasana. The throne. That's interesting, isn't it? There's two types of chairs here. There's the resting chair and then the throne. Right, you know, like we have the rocking chair, there's a resting chair. And a throne. No, not many of us have thrones, I suppose. Okay. So this is Ananta Sesha, an expansion of Sankarshan, of whom Sesha or Ananta Sesha is an expansion. He is thus called Lord Sesha. Itta Murti Beda Kari Krishna Seva Kare. Krishnera Sesha Tapana Sesha Namadhare. He is thus called Lord Sesha, for he has attained the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. He takes many forms for the service of Krishna, and thus he serves the Lord. Seta Ananta Yara Kahi Ekakala. Hena Prabhu Nityananda Ke Jani Tarak Hila. That person of whom Lord Ananta is a kala, or part of a plenary part, is Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who therefore could know the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. Okay. So, who can measure the value of service? So in this verse, we are observing, or we're hearing, the glories of the master of the creation, the maintenance, and the destruction. Samyamam. So what have we got here? Sthiti. First, most important, maintenance. And Janma, creation. And then finally, Samyamam, annihilation. So he's the source of the creation. Although it's mentioned here, but he doesn't do it himself. He's the source of these things, but he doesn't do it himself. And isn't it interesting how Ananta Sesh manifests to support all of the universes on the hoods of his thousands of, is it saying thousands? Murdha Sahasradharma Su. Let's have a look. On the hundreds and thousands of hoods of the Lord. Hundreds of thousands. So he maintains the universes, but it's just not even a. It's. He doesn't even feel the weight of the universe. So for him, it's not a burden. You know, there's this Greek mythology, Atlas. In the Greek mythology, the bearer of the universe or the earth, yeah, is Mr. Atlas. But Mr. Atlas is struggling to keep it, to hold it up. That's not really the case. That's not the case. Maintaining the universe for him is a piece of cake. Right? Everybody enjoys eating cake. Right? Even though they've eaten a big feast, they couldn't possibly squeeze in another. Like have you seen in a feast, you might have experienced having a feast, and you know, Jamashtami, we used to, all of the devotees, the whole community used to just sit in the prasadam hall. It was quite crowded. Actually, we used to sit in the theatre, used to be the prasadam hall, when the devotees first established the temple here. And do you know what the name of that hall is? What's the name of what we now call the theatre? Do you know what it's called? It's a bit of Hare Krishna Melbourne ancient history. What is it called? No. It's called Parampara Hall. There weren't any pictures in the Parampara there when, at least when I came, but that's what it's called, Parampara Hall. Maybe when we open it up as a prasadam room, then we can call it Parampara Hall. Everybody used to sit, we all would sit in the and Korma would always cook. We would cook 108 preparations for Janmashtami, which was usually a big event. In that area, which is the it's now that cupboard, I guess we're going to take that out. A few months' time, we'll have that removed and we'll have that bay window again in that area. We used to put the prasadam there, and then everybody would line up. You know, this is a kind of the traditional way of serving prasadam. And we would then be served 108 preps. And you know, by the time you got to the 60th or the 70th prep, you're full as a gug. And you know, if you're a servant, the humorous thing is you can just go and show them a grain of rice, and the devotees go, But well, if they're going to give you something and they put more than two grains of rice on your plate, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're trying to kill me. But if they came along with the cake, oh yes, give me a piece of cake. They say there's a second stomach for cake or for sweets. When you're full up with savings, you can always eat a bit of cake. Not too much. So far, so what would normally be a struggle is easy. But here for Ananta Sage, he's got, on each of his hoods, he's got the universe, which is five, what was it? Where is that measurement? Where was I reading that again? Anyway, it's very big. Right? 500 million yojanas, which we worked out, well, we didn't calculate as to how many kilometres that was, but pretty big. And so that means it must be hugely heavy. The universe is heavy. But for another sage, he can't even feel it. And he likes to do this service. This is a pleasure for him. You know, when we're asked to do service, oh no, what am I going to do? What am I going to do this for? Huh? Well, why is it so hard? Huh? But for another sage, service is bliss. So much so that he doesn't even feel like he's doing anything. He's happy to, and we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how he's the paduka, you know, he's the shoes, the bed, the sacred thread, the clothing, the rocking chair, or the lounge chair. The lounge chair's at home, right, and the throne is when you're in the office. So he's this special incarnation who Bhakta Avatar. And there are other Bhakta Avatars as well, many of them, because the service is the purpose of life. And that's a quality that we have also. The Dharma of the living entity, one of the inherent characteristics is to be a servant. And of course the perfection of service is to render service to Krishna. Krishna does. But what is it? Gopi Bhatu Padakamalayo Dasa Das Anudas. This is a natural propensity of it, just like sweetness is to sugar and wetness is to water, or liquidity is to water. So similarly, service is natural to the living entity. We see that epitomized in the service of a mother to their children. Right? It's a natural characteristic that you can't erase or remove. Just like my wife and I used to always have a tussle with my mum because we wouldn't let her cook for us, which, you know, that's like breaking a mother's heart. Sometimes we'd tell my mum when we were coming home, or if we were driving from Melbourne to Adelaide, we'd tell them when we were coming. And then when we got there, my mum would cook something for us, even though we'd forbidden her to do it, and we wouldn't eat it either, which really... So there was this tussle always with the children and my mum over who was going to... There was one time when my mum, she was suffering from dementia, and there's on the border of South Australia and Victoria, when you drive through the Duke's Highway, there's a shop there that sells almonds, and they're locally grown. And in season, they also sell apricots. Right? And so we brought some apricots, and they were beautiful apricots. So we took them home, took them to the parents' place and put them in the fridge. And then my mum cooked them. I was pretty upset. I said, what happened to the apricots? And then we asked my mum, did you cook them? She said, no. We knew she had, but she'd forgotten that she'd cooked them. Anyway, we worked it out. My mum would help my wife to cook when she was cooking, so she was happy to do that. But then she did the washing and the ironing. And it made me appreciate how my mum had so much affection for me that she was, even though we wouldn't let her cook, she was happy to do the ironing, the washing and the ironing. Huh? She just liked to do it. She could not stop serving her children. Right? So this is the natural, you know, quality. It's actually the natural quality of the living entity to render service. But of course, you know, we're serving we were discussing this last night. Vacho vega, manasakroda vega, jiva vega, we're serving the tongue, the belly, the genitals, the mind, you know, the pushings of the senses effectively, internally in the mind and externally in the gross material body pushes us. And so we are go-dust, right? But when we engage those senses in Krishna's service, then we become Goswami. Now we're renounced, but our renunciation is not to give up the body or give up the natural propensities that we have. Actually, that's false renunciation. But real renunciation and real control of the mind and the senses is to engage that natural propensity to serve and those natural facilities that we have that are inherent to us in Krishna's service. That's a natural way of, that's a natural form of renunciation. And that's easy. It's more of a struggle to do it the other way. And so when we're rendering service to Krishna, even if it is difficult, just like, you know, I've been reading, I haven't got very far into it, but I've been reading I'll Build You a Temple, you know, the story about the Juhu Temple. And that was a fight. But at the end of it, Prabhupada said, that was a good fight. So, even for a devotee, if there's a struggle and a headache, you know, for an undersage, it's no headaches. Right? For him, he's in Vaikuntha, wherever he is, even if he's in Patala Loka. You know, normally if we go to Patala Loka, well, I think this is described later on in this canto of the Bhagavatam. What happens if we go to Patala Loka? You get fried in oil or something, you know, you're copping it, right? You are getting fried, literally fried. But he goes to Patala Loka, it's Vaikuntha. He's in Vaikuntha, wherever he is. And the service is just natural. He loves to serve. It's just what he does. And so similarly, we should take inspiration. He's the source of the creation, maintenance and destruction, although he himself doesn't do it. That's where we get Lord Brahma, an expansion of Lord and Lord Vishnu. And of course, that's the most important thing. Maintenance. And it's the hardest. Right? Maintenance requires, for us, a lot of effort. You know, maintain your devotional service. What does that mean? Every day chanting, getting up early, chanting 16 rounds, right? Studying or hearing the Bhagavatam, you know, the Bhagavad Katha. These things require effort and part of our service. Not to speak of, you know, keeping the temple clean. Did you have a look at those? Yeah. Mataji likes to clean, so I pointed out to the cobwebs on the brahmacharis don't see the cobwebs, or the men don't. Men don't see dirt, I've discovered. I'm probably one of them. I shouldn't say the brahmacharis, they might think I'm picking on them. Men generally don't see dirt. Have you noticed that? What's that funny? Who cleans your clothes? Huh? Mum. Yeah. I know. So, yeah, but maintenance is hard work. Keeping a temple functioning where everything is in its place, ready to use. Right? This is cleanliness. So management is actually part of cleanliness. This is our service. Right? Keeping things, just like we worship the deities. Right? There's another effort that's required every day. Get up early and do the puja. And usually when we do the puja, there's a mess. Right? When you do the mess, when you do the puja, there's a mess. Afterwards, there's flowers scattered, there's dust that you've... You know, isn't it interesting? Everywhere in the creation, there's always dust. Listen to the material world. Right? Go home and look under your bed, if you're going. And you'll just see fluff and dust and dirt, right? And you know where that's coming from? Some of it, not all of it. You know where that's coming from?
Skin.
Your skin. Your skin. Ugh, yuck. They're the best, such a moochy thing. Right? You know, if you lie on your bed, after that, what should you do? What should you do?
Shower.
Take a bath. Yeah, take a bath. It's moochy. So, you know, keeping everything suchi means keeping everything in its place. So you've done the puja, everything's, all your paraphernalia is dirty, your flower petals and this and that, you know, and all the remnants of the previous day's puja's been. So that all has to be cleaned out. All the paraphernalia has to be prepared again for the next day, and it all has to be ready to use. Right? And a lot of our management, and same with the kitchen. If you've cooked an offering, what have you got afterwards? At least what do we have? When our cooks cook, what have we got afterwards?
Dishes.
Hmm?
Dishes.
We've got prasadam. That everybody knows. After the offering, oh, look at the prasadam. But what they tend to ignore is the mess that they've left behind. Right? But this is mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is, if I've made a mess, in fact, Prabhupada mentions, or certainly it's mentioned somewhere by someone, the offering is actually not accepted by Radharani if the kitchen isn't clean, isn't it? Far out. Our cooks think, okay, we've made the offering, let's serve it out. And forget about the fact, you know, ask the kitchen manager, what have we got? We've got a mess. Even when we've served out the prasadam, what's left? What's left? What's that humming? Hear that humming?
Yeah.
What is it? Oh, yeah. Anyway, doesn't matter. Yeah, so it stopped. We've got a mess in the kitchen and we've got a mess in the prasadam hall. Right? So what do? I know what happens around here. We ignore it. No, that's not true. It's not true. But sometimes it takes a while for the mess to get cleaned up. But this is service. Right? This is, and it's maintenance. Most important service is the service that's taken on by Lord Vishnu. Right? Is the maintenance. And that's how, you know, when we inherit a temple or when we live in a temple, this is our responsibility. It's our responsibility to see that everything, after we've used it, is cleaned and put away. Mamahan knows this. We just get a whole bunch of donations, right? We've got two or three pallets of vegetables. And what do we got after that? When we put everything away in the cool room that we can use, what do we got left? Along with the mushrooms and the onions and the other things that we can't do anything with. What do we got?
A mess.
And then, right at that time, have a guess what happens? A chinchurupa comes along. Chinchurupa is a mess demon, right? She hates seeing a mess. So that's why my room is always looking very clean and tidy. Because if it isn't, I'm in trouble, a lot of trouble. But this is how, this is mode of goodness. This is service. It's a big responsibility. Living in a temple means, you know, you're Krishna's housekeeper, whether you like it or not. And Krishna will train us. Krishna trains us to, and he sets the example here as Ananta Sage, the maintainer. So this is part of his maintenance duty. He's the padukas, the asana, chakra, the umbrella. And all of these things are menial. Like, this is not high-profile service, being the shoes. Right? It means you've been trodden on all the time. Right? Who likes to be trodden on all the time? Like grass. In fact, you know, grass is the emblem of humility, right? Isn't it? You tread on the grass, it doesn't complain, it yields, right? It yields to your foot. And then when you've stopped treading on it, it stands back up again. So that grass is like, this is the mood of a servitor is one of tolerance, of humility. And it's interesting, you see, the material creation of Sri Chaitanya was explaining this yesterday, and Gangeshwara also was explaining it the other day, that the material creation is not God's, it's not what Krishna wants, it's what we want. Krishna wants us all to live in the spiritual world. But we want to make out that we're like gods, you know, that we're like gods. Ishvara. We're the controllers. And so the material world has been created for us and supported by Ananta Sage. Right? So Krishna also, in this regard, serves our desires, even though they're not even good and healthy for us. And we stay in the material world and suffer. Still, Krishna facilitates that opportunity, even though he doesn't. You know, it's like a parent. Has your son got to the stage where he does things that you don't want him to do?
Mostly.
Mostly, huh? And you tolerate it, right? You still feed him. Right? You have hopes. You have dreams and hopes that things are going to get better. And they usually do, right? But even if the son is a rascal, right? Which your son is not, probably. No. He's just uncooperative, right? Not like Krishna does here. He's an emblem of cooperation and surrender, aren't you? But still Krishna facilitates, like the parents facilitate. So this description of another sage is a great meditation for us. We can meditate on how he serves and how for him that service is effortless. And for us also service will be, especially when we get to the spiritual world, effortless, enjoyable. You know, at the moment there may be some tapasya in the performance of seva. But we should never see, we should always see the opportunities and the challenges of service, just like Srila Prabhupada did. He set the example. You know, when Prabhupada opened up the temple in 26 Second Avenue, who was doing the cooking?
Nityananda.
Huh? Nityananda? Kirtananda. Well, later on, yes, after Prabhupada had stuffed them full of prasadam, you know, many times. Who was cleaning up? Yeah, he was doing it all. Yes, Kirtananda was taught later on how to cook and clean and to a very high standard too. Srila Prabhupada taught everybody to a high. Prabhupada expected a high standard of performance, of participation and performance. So you know, this mood of service is can be explored in many ways, and it's exemplified here. It's exemplified in Chaitanya. We'll just briefly touch on this point in the Gundicha Marjana, because today is the day before Rath Yatra, right? And in Puri, today is the day that they clean the temple of whose temple is it? Where Lord Jagannath goes. What is that? I guess it's Lord Jagannath's temple, right? Ultimately. But the temple to which Lord Jagannath goes to stay for 8 days before Lakshmi comes out and chastises him and says, "Go home. What are you doing? You're supposed to be at home." What is that temple? Whose temple? It's called Gundicha, but Gundicha means cleaning. Oh no, Gundicha, yeah, it's called Gundicha, that's right. Marjana means cleaning. Yeah, so today is the day, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description of how Lord Chaitanya and his associates cleaned the Gundicha temple in preparation for Jagannath coming on his rath and staying there for the 8 days that he's away. And of course, that temple represents what?
Vrindavan.
Yes. And Vrindavan is exemplified by this mood of pure surrender, of pure seva to Krishna, pure pleasure for Krishna. Right? And so, you know, our cleaning of the temple, the cleaning of the good, it's like the cleaning of the heart. This is the example that's given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada explains. And that's like our japa, you know. Our japa, good japa, is the source of a clean temple, actually. Right? Because we're cleansing out, you know, the desire to be the best devotee, to lead the biggest kirtan, to give the best class. You know, there's a bit of competition between who's going to give class or not. Have you noticed? There's a competition. Who's going to give the Bhagavatam class? No? Or are they going to notice me? Kind of mood. We have to be careful of that. These are somewhat material desires. Puja, pratistha, being recognized. We need to clean these out. And then the mood of, you know, if we're doing our service to get recognition, it's the wrong attitude. And we see that in the Sikshastikam, you know, in the last prayers of the Sikshastikam. And Lord Chaitanya's praying, you know, in the first, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundurim, you know, I don't want anything, effectively. And then in the end, you know, whether you handle me roughly or ignore me, actually, for the devotee, even if you handle me roughly, it's better than ignoring me, right? But Lord Chaitanya prays, whether you show me favour or whether you ignore me, or if you handle me roughly, still I'm your servant. Right? So this cleansing of the temple, Prabhupada says, it's as good as cleansing the heart. And of course, that cleansing of the heart is manifest in our japa and praying for service. And then when our heart is pure, then even the most difficult things, like we read in this story of Prabhupada, I'll build you a temple, the struggles that the devotees went through. You know, when the devotees saw Juhu, and Prabhupada said, I'm going to build a temple here, a number of the devotees thought, this is crazy. Why is he doing this to us? Huh? This rat-infested, mosquito-infested swamp, kind of. It was. Have any of you been to Juhu? Well, obviously not in the last year, but any of you been to the Juhu Temple in Mumbai? It's a beautiful place, isn't it? It is such a... The devotees are so accommodating. It is such a beautiful place, but it wasn't always like that. It was a huge struggle. And, you know, basically, they took on the municipality of Mumbai. Right? And in America, they say, don't take on City Hall. You know, don't take on the local government unless you want trouble. But effectively, that's what happened. But Prabhupada embraced it with enthusiasm, even if his disciples didn't. You know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was a GBC for India. I haven't read all the details, but I know from the Lila Amrita that he basically gave in and, you know, gave everything back to the to Mrs. N. And Prabhupada was furious because the devotees weren't following his instructions. But they just saw it as such a burden. Such a burden. Huh? Very interesting. But they took the chastisement and they kept on fighting. And eventually everything turned out successfully. So, cleaning the heart, cleaning the temple, it's all the same, but of course it comes from the embrace Embracing all of these challenges is facilitated by cleaning the heart, chanting Hare Krishna. And that's the example that Srila Prabhupada did. Compares the cleaning of the temple with the proper chanting of japa. And that was exemplified by Lord Chaitanya, because even after the devotees had cleaned everything, then he went in again to clean more. And would praise those devotees who found more dirt, right? And gathered it and cleaned it out. That's why you see devotees like Korma. Have you ever seen Korma come into the temple room? Even after he's been away for so long, what does he do? Do you know what he does when he comes into the temple room? You know what he does, Sukadev? Yeah, he'll go like this. And look at it. Why is that?
Checking if the dirt.
Yes, because of the dirt. He's looking for the dirt. Huh? Oh, look at that. There's another. There's another thing you can do. Is rub your feet. See, there's dirt. So this all should be clean. And it's a hassle, right? Keeping everything clean, it's a hassle. But have a guess what? It's clean in the heart. It's beautiful. And so then, you know, when you come into it, the temple, when it's clean, it hits you. The cleanliness of the place, the atmosphere, because if it's clean, that means the devotees are in the right consciousness. And then when you come into this place, where with everything clean and fucker, you know, everything's in its right place, this is why management is about cleanliness, then the impact, because what are we doing it for? We're not doing it for... What do we get out of keeping everything clean? It just means consciousness is pure. So we're not getting anything material out of it, but we're certainly getting spiritual benefit. And others who come, they get the spiritual benefit too. That's the real impact. Real impact of coming to the temple is this, the purity of heart and the purification of heart that comes from rendering service. And we see that purification, that purity in Ananda Sesh. Is the Bhakta avatar. Okay. It is now time to go and do some seva. Right? You know what? This is the seva that everybody likes. Prasad seva. But have a guess what? You've been hearing the Bhagavatam class and in all of this time, have a guess what's happened. You know what's happened? Somebody's eaten all of the Mahaprasadam. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
I have a question that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also the Bhakta Avatar of the Lord?
Yes, he is. Yeah. What is it? What's that verse? Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavadaram Bhaktatyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So somewhere in there, actually a couple of times, is the reference to the Bhakta Avatar. Bhakta Swarupa. His Swarupa is in the form of a Bhakta. And he's the Bhakta Avatar, which refers to... Who is the Bhakta Avatar? I have to believe. Anyway, yes, he is. As are the others. They all come as devotees. Lord Nityananda is a devotee. Advaita Acharya, who's Lord Mahavishnu, he's a devotee, right? Gadadhara is a devotee. Srivats is a devotee. So they're all devotees. Although each one of them, so what have we got? We've got Lord Krishna himself, we've got Balaram, we've got Mahavishnu, they're the Vishnu Tattva, avatars of the Panchatattva, and then we have Gadadhar is Radharani, the expansion of Radharani, and Srivas is the pure devotee, Narada Muni, I think is described as. Right? Yes, so Lord Vishnu likes to serve too, and Sankirtan. They like to take prasadam too. So Lord Chaitanya would fill all of the devotees up to the neck five times more than an ordinary person could eat. So this is where we get our program from. Our prasadam program is actually started by Krishna. Anything else? Yes. The Brahma Samhita? I suspect that the Brahma Samhita is actually an eternal literature. Right? It's recited from you know, it's part of Lord Brahma's prayers, I believe, after he had performed his meditation, isn't it? Or after he met Krishna, but that's after he performed his meditation. So I suspect that it's not something that is created, but it's an eternal glorification of Krishna. You know, much of the Vedas are not actually written in one sense, because they're an oral. It's spoken and heard. And these prayers are eternal. Glorification of Krishna, glorification of how he creates and all of that is eternal, but some, like the material creation, sometimes manifest, sometimes not. Does that make sense? So, you know, when Lord Brahma has had his snooze, and you know, like when we wake up sometimes, you know, you've had a sleep, you wake up, but you can't kind of relocate yourself. You ever felt like that? You wake up and think, what happened? Where am I? Who am I? So he had to re-establish himself. And after his, Ganga was explaining this the other day in class, he meditates for the amount of time that he actually lives, actively lives. He's meditating, so for a long time he's meditating, and then after that, and that's he's meditating to recall what it is that he's, what his service is, basically, what he's supposed to be doing, so that he chants these prayers. So after that meditation, so and you know, in that meditation he sees Krishna, and Krishna's darshan reminds him of the, if I recall that story correctly. But so we don't say the Vedas are not something that are written, although they are written down, but it's not something that they're not created. They're something that's realized internally, and then out it comes in the form of prayers. But then after some time it gets lost, but then has to come out again, and usually through the meditation of the devotees, or through the direct instructions of Krishna, like Krishna appears and speaks to Bhagavad Gita, but he says to Arjuna, I've spoken the Bhagavad Gita to you before, but you've forgotten them. Right? But Krishna doesn't forget. So the Vedic literature, or the, you know, the what we call the Vedas, which basically means knowledge, is manifest in sound, and that sound either comes from incarnations of the Lord or from the devotees who remember having heard it from the Lord. And so, you know, sound is considered to be the most important of all material elements, right? Because sound can transport you to places far, far away, or sound can reveal information about the spiritual world, which at the moment we can't access. Right? This is the importance of the Vedas and the importance of the ears. Right? The most important sense is the ears. And we say, you know, seeing is believing. But actually, hearing is more important than seeing. I probably give the example of how your ears are always protecting you, whereas the other senses, when you go to sleep, they don't work. But if you hear things, you can be woken up. Or your ears will protect you. Certainly, so long as somebody's making enough noise for you to hear them, even when you're asleep. So, yeah, anyway, not written in one sense, or not created. These, the glorification of the Lord is eternal. Is that right? And that's why Krishna appears. Not the only reason why he appears, but one of the main reasons he appears is to dissipate darkness, to dissipate ignorance. And so therefore he appears and speaks to Bhagavad Gita. Or he appears in the form of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the compiler of the Vedas. And so, you know, if we want to look at when was it written down, it was written when Vyasadeva compiled the Vedic literature, and you know, he could see in Kali Yuga the qualifications of the people, not qualified. In previous ages, people were Shrutida. That means if you heard something, you held it, you remembered it. That would be a great facility to have, right? If you heard, whatever you heard, you remembered. That would be handy, wouldn't it? Be easy to be a student. But Vyasadeva could see into the future and could see Kali Yuga, and it was his service to then compile the Vedic literature. So in that sense, we understand that's when it was written, created, if you like, or written down. But the actual messages, the information, is eternal. And that's why we worship the Veda. That's why we worship the Bhagavad Gita and the other literature, because it's considered an eternal manifestation of the Lord and his potencies. It's why we listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam every day, why we study the Bhagavad Gita. Because that's the. And in fact, you know, this is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would worship the printing press. Right? Because the printing press would manifest the physical form of the Shastra. And why the Shastra is worshipable, and why the printing press is worshipable. Right? Because it manifests the form of the Lord, the physical form of the Lord, the physical form of the sound vibration. Right? That's what a book is. And that's why the books are worshipable. It's the deity. Now, sometimes, you know, on festival days, the devotees will put the books on the altar. Because the books are the manifestation of the sound vibration, the physical manifestation of the sound vibration of the Lord and the devotees. And so therefore, and very powerful as a consequence. Yeah. Okay. Questions? Comments? When can we go and have breakfast? Eh? Hare Krishna. Gandharasana Bhagavatam Kija. Jai. 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 Jai.